You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, yes, I really would, but the feeling in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window, trauma shining through the wall, and I'd like to give the information, asking for more, but makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can barely hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another exciting edition of the Common Sense Show. I am your host, Dave Hodges, and we'll be with you live for the next 3 hours from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m., and we got an action-packed show for you. In just a moment, we're going to be joined by the Secretary of State of Arizona, Michelle Reagan, and we're going to be talking about voter fraud. Near the bottom of the hour, we're going to be joined by my old friend, Sheila Zielinski, and we're going to be talking about everything. We got so many challenges going on right now. And she said, Dave, what do you want to talk about? I said, get out the smorgasbord, because I'm going to hold you over into the second hour. And then in the third hour, we're going to be joined by my good friend, Mike Adams from naturalnews.com. And he's got some really insightful things to say about what's going on politically. Anyway, we're going to dispense with a lot of the formalities that we tend to do at the beginning, because Secretary Reagan's time is short with us, and I wanted to bring her on. Michelle Reagan, thanks for joining us on this Sunday evening. We so appreciate you coming on, and I want to put out a special thanks and shout out to Teresa Martinez and Joe Delgado, my old friend, and they helped make this possible, and I'm glad you could join us.
Well, we are very, very lucky at the Secretary of State's office to have amazing staff. So they do so much in the community that it is definitely appreciated.
Well, they really do. I first met Teresa up in Wickenburg, Arizona, small town about 20 minutes north of me, and they were up there registering voters. I mean, what a great thing, and we definitely got to get out the vote, because the conservatives are definitely outnumbered, I think, when it comes to voting. But anyway, I brought you on to talk about what you do in your role as Secretary of State, since you oversee voting, and that's one of your primary responsibilities. What can you do to ensure that you can at least minimize the amount of voter fraud that goes on?
Yes, well, you know, we have a gold standard, and our gold standard that we like to say around the office is it should be easy to vote and hard to cheat. So you want to have both. You don't want to make it so that it's, you know, there's barriers for people getting to the polls if they just want to get to the polls or get their early ballot. But then how do you make sure that people are who they say they are? So Arizona has a number of laws in place, a lot that a lot of other states don't have. So, for instance, we have a obviously a voter ID bill. When you go to the polls, you need to show ID. You would think that that's the norm, but actually there's less than half the states have voter ID laws. So we are in the minority in having that, and it's a very good law, and we want to make sure that we keep it. In addition, we are one of only three states that has proof of citizenship when registering to vote. So you need to show that you're a citizen, and we've made it real easy in the sense that your driver's license number can tell us a lot. It tells us your citizenship status. Any non-citizens with driver's licenses are going to have a different numbering sequence in their ID number, and that prohibits them, if the system is working properly, it prohibits them from registering to vote in the first place.
Well, that is such a good thing, and I know...
Doesn't
from
that make
my...
you happy? Because we get a lot of this. A lot of people say, you know, they're worried about this, and we get that. We understand.
Well, I have relatives in California. I have friends and fellow colleagues in the talk show business. And I can tell you in California, that's not happening. All you need is a driver's license, and they don't distinguish in terms of voting. Anyone can walk up with a license and vote in California. Did you know that?
Yes, I did know that. And that actually, like I mentioned, it is more the norm to have it that way than to have ID that you show. And you know, I mean, I just, it shocks me that there would be any state that doesn't want to have ID at the polls. And it doesn't need to be where you need to walk in with your birth certificate. We're talking, you know, walk in with a photo ID or two pieces of mail that show that you live at that address.
Well, voter fraud, though, at least from my perspective, is rampant. I don't know where you're familiar with the Stanford study that came out after the Democratic primary and said that when Hillary Clinton was running against Bernie Sanders in states where they had voting machines, she went against the projected totals in the exit polls by about 9%. But yet when there were just paper ballots, the voting favored Bernie Sanders. Were you familiar with that study from Stanford?
I've been reading a bunch of studies, and so I'm not familiar with that particular study, but we have heard stats like that. So that is nothing that we haven't heard. The thing that I always like to try to do is I like to focus on Arizona. Obviously, I'm the Secretary of State of Arizona, and every state has different laws when it comes to voting. What can we do in our state to make sure that it's easy to vote and hard to cheat? And there's a number of things that we can do. Some of it we do. Some of it we're still working on and pushing for.
One of the things I see, Arizona is very progressive. This is one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on, because I think that we can serve as a model for many states in the country that aren't ensuring the validity of their vote to the degree that the citizens would like. And I guess I'd like to start with the beginning, the genesis of these reforms and these protections that Arizona has that many states don't. How did Arizona avoid the pitfall of every time you want to limit people who are not citizens from voting, the screams of racism drown out the people that want voter reform? How did that come into play here?
Well, you know, and that's the thing. I've been called so many names for advocating for, not nice names, advocating yes. for making sure that our election system is as free from fraud as possible. And so we never say that we're going to eliminate 100% of anything just because I think that's nearly impossible. Humans are going to be humans, and there are going to be some who are going to try to game the system. But how can we minimize that? And, you know, sometimes people then say, well, then you want to stop people from voting. You want to stop minorities from voting or stop low-income people from voting. And I just answer back to those people, what Secretary of State in their right mind would want to see voter turnout or voter participation go down on their watch? I mean, that's just contrary to everything
sure.
that we believe and that we work for. But they have to be people who are eligible to be voting. And that's nothing to be ashamed of.
That's really good. Well, another concern that I have and is brought to me by many, many people, including some politicians, are the validity of the voter machines. What steps do you take in Arizona to ensure that when electronic voting machines are used, they can't be tampered with?
Well, again, here's an area that we are above par in our laws and in our rules. The Secretary of State's office goes and tests every single voting machine that counts ballots in every county before every election. So last year we had four elections, which meant we were out in every county four times checking those machines. And what we do is we actually run a mock election on them and make sure that they count and tabulate what our mock election list is. And then we seal those machines, and they're put on live video feeds all over the state, and the public can go and log on and see those machines and make sure no one's tampering with them. They shouldn't be unsealed. They're not unsealed until Election Day. But here's the thing that we really appreciate any media helping us get out, and that's that these machines, the ones that count the ballots, they're not hooked up to the Internet. They're not hooked up to a phone line. They are electronic. They're plugged into a wall. But the thought of someone being able to hack those machines from the outside it would almost be impossible considering they're not online. And that's a good thing. We want to make sure that it stays that way because, you know, you have then that confidence that nobody's messing with your actual count.
Certainly, and am I safe to assume that you don't suspect that the Russians have hacked into our elections here in Arizona?
Well, I don't think that the Russians or any foreign government have try to manipulate the vote, or if they have tried to manipulate the vote, they were very unsuccessful, considering, again, that none of those machines are online. So what we do worry about constantly, and we have had this happen in Arizona, is entities coming and doing, trying to hack into the voter database. Now, the votes aren't kept there. The voter database is where your voter information and mine is kept, not who we voted for, but our address, our social security number, our date of birth, etc., that kind of information. And we have this huge database on over 3 million voters. There were attempts last year, and I would be surprised if there wasn't attempts every day to try to get into that system. We were lucky last year when somebody got into a computer that was hooked up to the voter registration system, and that was actually a county computer in another county. They weren't able to actually then access the database. So technically, we've been hacked by some unknown person, in the sense that they were able to get into that computer. But we took the database offline for about 10 days to make sure that information hadn't been deleted or manipulated, because I think that would be worse.
Well, I totally agree. And see, this is why, you know, I'm reasonably confident, and like you said, you can't be 100% confident because you're not going to stop everything, but I'm reasonably confident that here in Arizona, the way the people vote, the will is carried out of the people. And Joseph Stalin's admonition about, we don't really care who votes, we care who counts the votes. Well, here in Arizona, we do care. In fact, in Arizona, I think this is interesting to share with the rest of the nation, Michelle, we don't have a lieutenant governor. And we value your position as Secretary of State so much. Talk to the voters about the order of secession here. If the governor were to resign, or like Janet Napolitano, move on to a higher position with the federal government, who takes the governor's place here?
Well, and now, this is very important that it's not just something dire doesn't need to happen. Anytime the governor leave state lines, I'm what's mm-hmm. considered acting governor. So you are correct. Arizona does not have a lieutenant governor. There are only three states that don't have a lieutenant governor and instead have the Secretary of State fill both those roles. So, but, you know, we don't run up to his office and start making decisions. His staff gets everything handled just fine when he's out of the state. But in regards to signing things and stuff like that, I would be considered the acting governor when that happens. And then, of course, if something, we'll say something phenomenal happened to Doug Ducey and he was to go somewhere else, then the Secretary of State position is the one that moves up to the governor.
Exactly. In fact, it's often Secretary of State's been a launching pad to the governor's office. I mean, we had Jan Brewer here, and I'm one of those people. I knew Jan Brewer back when she was a school board member, and I thought,
she's always go way back.
Right. Yeah, I've been in Arizona for some time now, over 30 years, but she really, I think, has served us well, and it's been a great position here in Arizona. And this is why I hold us up as a model. People ask me about voter fraud, and the people I talked to in California, I said, you should enact or force your people to enact what we do here. We're not perfect, but we're way above the norm in terms of ensuring, you know, voter validity and what really happens. And I guess, too, let me let you get a little plug-in, because I heard a couple of weeks ago about the competition you're going to be facing in the next election. I think your would-be Democratic opponent announced. And did you have any opposition anticipated coming up in the primary?
Well, so far we have a primary competition, and there are two Democrats that have filed to run on the Democrat side. So it looks like they're going to have a primary, too. The good news is that I always like to say, you know, this is a great position. Secretary of State, I think, is one of the best positions in state government. I would expect people would want to run for it. And when people kind of join the election, it keeps me on my toes. It helps keep us honest when we have competition. So as a proud Republican, I'm never afraid of competition.
That's awesome. That really is. Well, you've done a great job, and I thought we came through the last election with big numbers, but I think we came through with flying colors, and I really appreciate you taking the time to come on our show this evening to talk about some of the common sense things we do here in Arizona to protect the vote.
Yes, and we do a lot of them, and we just want to make sure that we're able to keep those laws, that they don't get thrown out in court, and got to always be upping our cybersecurity to make sure that the voter registration database is not hacked either.
Very good. Well, Michelle, really, you've been very generous with your time, and our thanks again go out to Teresa and Joe for making this possible, and thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. Have a great day.
Thank you. Michelle Reagan, Secretary of State of Arizona. And folks, we are ahead of the norm. We are not perfect here. We've had some issues with Maricopa County voting and long lines and stuff, but the thing that happens here in Arizona is the problems do get fixed. And I have seen that over and over and over here. Now, I have some friends that just scream up and down, you know, just like in the interstate, but no, we're not. We are above the norm. In California, you're going to probably have more foreign nationals voting in certain parts of that state than you are regular citizens, and that is unacceptable. And I can tell you, absolutely, that does not happen here. With our last Secretary of State, like I mentioned, Jan Brewer, now Michelle Reagan, that does not happen here in Arizona. And you heard what she said. The most, I think, impressive thing that we do here in Arizona is if people who are not citizens get driver's license, what do they get? They get a different set of numbers. They can't just walk up in California, hey, I'm a citizen, let me vote. It doesn't happen that way here. So there are some safeguards built in. Anyway, I wanted to just go back and we're going to retrace our steps a little bit because I wanted to get Michelle on and her time was tight. But I just want to remind everybody who brings you and me and everybody who's listening, the show. And the show is brought to you by, in part, Renaissance Precious Metals with my good friend Steve Quayle. And I'm a customer of Steve's and a happy customer because if the economy does go south, if that borrowed money that's driving the market rise through coming through the central banks, if that keeps on going the way that it is, and then someday up and up and up, and what goes up must come down, well, if you're in precious metals, you're going to take the hit a lot better than if you had all your money in the bank that you're going to have a heck of a time getting out. And by the way, back in 2014 at the G20 conference, all the nations adopted repayment schedules when banks fail. And guess where you and I are? Yeah, we're at the bottom. The people who are in line first are the credit swap derivative crowd. And since the nation owes them a minimum, this is the minimum estimate, $1.5 quadrillion, yeah, you know you're not getting your money back, okay? Or if you do, it's pennies on the dollar. So, Steve Quayle, how do you get a hold of him? Call him. Call him tomorrow morning, 406-586-4842. Most low-pressure guy I know. He'll almost try to talk you out of it. In fact, if you don't have enough money, he'll tell you to buy food. So, again, that's 406-586-4842. And speaking of food, I always say that, you know, we need to listen to FEMA. FEMA is telling us that we need to be prepped. It used to be 3 days. Then it was 14 days, and then most recently during these wave of hurricanes that we had, the FEMA director came out and said, you know what? You should have preparation be a way of life. No kidding. Well, you need food, water, guns, gold, ammo, and medicine. And I'm a pacifist. But if we did get into a situation where the just-in-time delivery stopped, you may have to defend yourself, and this is not a pleasant thing to talk about, but it's something necessary. That's another discussion for another time. What I can help you with is the food. Numana passes all the comparison tests, second to none. In addition, there's no glyphosate, no GMO, 25-year shelf life, convenient delivery options, restaurant-quality food, and it's good food. You'll lose weight if you eat this food, not because it's bad, because it's good for you. How do you get yours? Well, go to numana.com/Hodges and use the coupon code Hodges9. That's right, Hodges9 to take 5% off. Again, that's numana.com/Hodges and the coupon code is Hodges9. And one more person sponsoring us through this hour. My good friend, Ted Brewer, and there's some nasty things going on out there right now with the FDA that we're going to address, and I've asked Ted to come on for a while next week, and we're going to talk about them. But you all know, I'm close friends with Ted Brewer. I think his integrity is beyond question, but let's get down to what he does. You've heard me on this show when I had the ruptured disc in my back. Well, I didn't even have to go get an MRI. Why? Because I went to Ted. The only thing is, I'm mad at Ted for being on vacation when it happened, and I suffered for 5 days. But he came back, fixed me right up. And then we've, you know, Doug and I have talked about the blood sugar issues that both of us have had. Dr. Ted. Then, of course, the torn meniscus I had back in 2014 in my knee. And I'm thinking, boy, I got to get it scoped. And Ted said, oh, hold on here. Let's work on some things here. And didn't have to do that either. Whatever ails you, you should give Ted a call. Or you should actually go to his website and look at what they have. See if they have what that you need for your situation. And then talk to the people. The number will be on the screen. Go to healthmasters.com. And for 5% off, use the coupon code CSS5. Healthmasters.com, CSS5. Well, I'm told we have our next guest. Oh, I'm so glad we have her. She is the weekend vigilante, but she's the 24/7 vigilante. Let's not kid ourselves. This woman takes no bull from the bulls. I was on her show not too long ago, and wow. Wow, does she, I mean, she's done messing around. She's written a great book, and we've talked about it before on air, about prayer, and we're going to get into that at some point during this interview. But I asked her to come on to talk about the state of affairs. I mean, we just had Michelle Reagan on, and I have to tell you, I would not want to be in a top-level government position. I don't care what my level of integrity is. I don't care what the level of integrity is with my colleagues. The challenges are overwhelming. And it's so easy for people like us to sit back here and throw stones, but I think Sheila and I might be throwing some stones. Sheila, are you there?
I am, Dave. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, you sound great. I've often called you the goddess of the airwaves, but the goddess is from the neck up because you have an amazing brain. And if this is the first time you've heard Sheila, you're going to be very, very impressed. Sheila, there's so much stuff going on, and I want to start with an issue that's bombarding my email box today. And I have to tell you, Sheila, I'm still kind of a doubting Thomas on this. I know I've seen the acoustics tests. I know there was one more than one shooter. I've read the eyewitness accounts on the ground. There's more than one shooter at Vegas. I understand all that. But now we're seeing 17 ambulances, and they're taking people out of different places other than... What is going on?
Yeah, is anyone else curious about the tsunami of anomalies and revisions to the whole massacre narrative in the MSM? I mean, it's got more holes than Swiss cheese. You and I have talked about, you know, this gun-running operation, Paddock, the Philippine connection, the Pedogate connection, which is always kind of the looming underpinning. I mean, we've got gun grabbing, chaos in the streets, a nation on edge, looming World War III. What an Antifa bloodbath on the 4th, because the veterans are locked and loaded. The globalists are panicking, Dave, and they're kind of pulling out all the stops. And, you know, it's kind of funny right now. I was thinking the other day when Trump released this thing about JF Kennedy. You know, if we couldn't trust the evidence in the Warren Report, Dave, can we trust this release now? I mean, what is really going on here? I mean, why don't we talk about the other big secret in Hollywood? And I'm not talking about Harvey Wallbanger Weinstein groping somebody spooky. I'm talking about the underlying thing, Pedogate.
Okay, I'm glad I wasn't in mid-sip at that moment you said that, Sheila, because I would have sprayed my board here. Listen, I hear what you're saying. The Philippines... I have it on very good authority, and I have talked about that authority. It sounds like you also wrote the article I released this morning with regard to the JFK assassination. I mean, and we talked about this on your show, where I said that Lyndon Johnson had the presidential limousine scrubbed at Parkland Hospital, and they never went through and did forensic evidence. And they clearly could have connected bullet fragments that would have been in the limo back to Oswald's gun, but the problem is they wouldn't have matched. So they had to do the cover-up, and then they sent the limo off to be repaired because there were other gunshots in there, and I've talked to people who worked on the limo, and that car that's in the National Archives is not the car. I could go through all the whole litany here of what Johnson did to engage in the cover-up, but you're right. He's the one that buried the files. He's not going to put anything in there that's going to incriminate his legacy decades after his death.
Well, and don't forget, David Rockefeller ordered the whole despot move, the Vietnam War profits. You look at the nuclear arms production. Oh, and speaking of, I'll take Russian collusion for 600, Alex. Americans just learned, Dave, this week that the FBI and the DOJ were investigating a racketeering operation into this whole Russian-backed mining, these companies, which included extortion, money laundering, bribery, and kickback schemes. Clinton's and Obama sold us out, Dave, our uranium, and with that, the whole security of our nation. Look what happened in 2008 when Russians were frantically desperate to, what, buy uranium? Oh, FYI, a key ingredient to nuclear weapons. Obama and his upper tier, they were more than willing to accommodate. And the whole backdrop of the 20% of American uranium, we covered it when we talked about Uranium One. This was 2 years ago. The Russians were, you know, we're looking at racketeering. The Obama inner circle knew about it. The FBI was monitoring it, yet they allowed the transfer, Dave. Oh, and who greenlighted it? One Eric Holder. The case itself was handled, get this, it gets worse, Dave. So the case is handled by Rod Rosenstein. Yeah, this is the same guy that told Jeff Sessions, yeah, you just sit down, shut up, and recuse yourself of the Russian investigation so he could appoint, guess who? Bob Mueller to connect Trump to Russia. But right. It gets worse, Dave. The head of the FBI at the time, Bob Mueller, the man now appointed special counsel to connect Donald Trump to Russia? You can't make this stuff up. And oh, guess what? Who is the FBI agent leading the case? Andrew McCabe, the same guy that was handling the Hillary Clinton email investigation. That's right, the same guy whose wife, remember this, Dave, got $675,000 from the Clinton globalist scumbag pal Terry McAuliffe. The case was plea bargained. This is espionage. It's international racketeering, money laundering. I could go on and on. And let's not forget Loretta Lynch mob and Slick Willie and the tarmac hustle. Where is the rule of law here, Dave? How much longer will this Teflon snake Hillary, who seems so impervious to any kind of criminal prosecution more than her predator husband? I mean, the trail of dead bodies, the Dixie Mafia, where does it all end, Dave?
Well, it doesn't until she's locked up, but I don't see her getting locked up. You know, Sheila, you alluded to 2 years ago. Yes, we talked about this on your show, and I remember clearly you contacted me when I wrote my very first article about the sale of uranium to the Russians through the Clinton Foundation and their front company, Uranium One. I wrote about this in 2015, and then later I came up with a Bob Mueller that he was on the tarmac and gave the first enriched uranium to the Russians. This is crazy how far this goes. And by the way, Sheila, I want to mention this. I did what might have appeared to be an I told you so article this week when it started to break. I said, hey, look, old news, folks, 2 years ago, and I went through and detailed the different articles I had written on this. But Sheila, it wasn't so much an I told you so. I highlighted the fact I got this information from the New York Times, and that launched my investigation in which I went deeper. Where the hell's the FBI? If I can find this, and I don't have investigative resources like they do, where were they?
Bingo. Well, it's time to get the pitchforks out, Dave, and take to the streets. How much more of this three-ring circus, ridiculous clown show can we tolerate? I mean, who can stomach any more of these buffoons and degenerates? You got Chuck the Schmuck. They wheel out this degenerate clown, Nasty Pelosi. Jimmy the Snake. This sounds like a bad version of The Sopranos. You've got Timmy the Tuba, Jimmy the Snake, Loretta the Lynch. This is unbelievable, Dave.
Oh, God, is my laughing coming through? I mean, I'm almost ready to lose it here. And I'm laughing because of the irony attached to it. There's some woman, and I've seen her show once, and I only saw it. Her name is Samantha something, and she's a political commentator, and she is off-the-wall Looney Tunes. You're making sense, because I have verified a lot of what you're saying right here, but you're attacking this like she does. And I appreciate your sense of humor and your ability to maintain your perspective, because it's hard just not to break down and cry. We've lost our country, Sheila.
well, they're changing the law, they're changing the rules, they're changing statutes to suit the narrative. Look at the clown news networks, Dave. They don't want to talk about this other big Hollywood secret. And like I said, it's not Harvey Weinstein. It is the fact that we have child sex trafficking, pedophilia at the highest levels, Satanism at the highest levels. I mean, this is just, this is a media filibuster, Dave. You know, I am stunned that the media, this is like a wholesale mugging of the president. And why? Because, well, let's face it, he is not on board with this new world. He is a new world order wrecking ball. You could put it like that. And he knows about the, you know, what's going on with Russia. He's said it from the very beginning. But since November 8th, Dave, I mean, why was there never charges for the tarmac for 45 minutes? The whole Clinton spin machine. Hillary should have been indicted so many times, Dave. But, I mean, you want to talk about obstruction of justice and collusion? It always goes back to the whole concussion, Russian concussion, as you and I called it, the collusion delusion. Why is there not charges pressed? That's what the American people need to ask, Dave.
They are. They are, overwhelmingly. A lot more people are reading my articles on these topics, and people are outraged, and they should be outraged. And Sheila, what we're talking about is just what we can see and what we can find out. Lord knows what's beneath the surface and how bad it gets. You know, one thing you didn't mention, and thanks to Gary Haven spent millions of dollars of his own money saving lives in Haiti, while the Clintons stole $2 billion in relief money. And then the man who came out on YouTube from Haiti, the Haitian government, made the same accusation as Gary did on this show. He goes to testify in court in Florida and commits suicide in his hotel room.
Well, it goes back to this trail of dead bodies, doesn't it? So, I mean, again, this impervious Teflon snake of a woman, again, the Dixie cartel, we know their roots. I mean, does anybody understand that President Trump understands this whole two-party duopoly? He understands what truly goes on. Remember his tweet about Dave a couple years back? I think it was 2011 I covered. He tweeted this very interesting tweet. We have to do something, and I'm just paraphrasing, something about, we have to do something about these missing children grabbed by perverts. Too many incidents, fast trial, death penalty, something to that effect. So why do you think they're fighting Trump this hard? Because he knows their dirty little secret, Dave. And why are they dangling the Harvey Weinstein lesser charge? Can you spell HSBC Bank? It kind of is reminiscent of that, isn't it, Dave?
It really is. And speaking of snatching children, I did a YouTube earlier in the week based on a local Fox News story and also local papers that said unmarked school buses made three stops in the Van Buren School District in Ypsilanti, Michigan, attempting to pick up kids. Fortunately, alert parents yelled at the kids, "Don't get on that bus." And they didn't. And then the school district came out with a tweet that I produced in the article and basically said, "We don't have unmarked school buses." Well, by noon that day, the story started changing. Oh, it was painted over letters. Whoa, wait a minute. That's not what the witnesses were saying. They said unmarked, not painted over. Now, Sheila, since I ran that story, I have received four accounts of people in that area, which is the Ann Arbor area. But I've gotten four accounts saying it's not just kids they're trying to snatch. Adults are going missing in Michigan. Have you heard this?
No, this one I haven't. Well, we talked about those kids from Oklahoma. Whatever happened to those 72 kids, Dave? I mean, convicted pedophiles are still working in Hollywood. Look at the Victor Salva story that just came out. The Nathan Forrest grooming him and his parents, a very calculated. I mean, his career went on. He did Jeepers Creepers. The guy was directly involved in Disney. And why didn't Disney do anything? Oh, and guess what, Dave? Your listeners need to go back and watch my Disney deception. It's just, I lay out all the fact that Walt Disney was a 33rd degree Mason. It gets into the guts of something far more sinister. Oh, yeah, Disney he's a magical kingdom, all right, more like high-level warlock and occultist, magic, not the entertainment, with a K, Aleister Crowley. You see in the WikiLeaks, this Marina Abramovich and the spirit cooking, the Podestas. The Podestas are now linked to this Russian deal. I mean, you can't even make this stuff up, Dave. This is the human form of Ebola, these people.
2 years ago, in 2015, I published something called the Rostov Menu that the Russians made public that validated that this uranium was exchanged. But Sheila, here's another thing that bothers me. It's not just the fact that everybody but Fox News. Fox News is covering this in just the manner we're discussing it right now. In fact, Judge Jeanine has gone off even more frantically excuse me, than we have. But here's what bothers me. We're not seeing enough attention paid to this in the independent media. And I know, Dave, we heard you 2 years ago. But we need to beat the drums, because since Donald Trump ran for president, we have millions of new people who are tuning into our shows, reading our articles, and following our YouTube podcasts. And we need to beat this drum loudly, even if we're repeating ourselves, because many people haven't heard it. And if they're not watching Fox and they're watching the Communist News Network, they're not seeing it. And this needs to be out there. In fact, Sheila, here's another thing that the independent media is dropping the ball on. And that is the connection between the BLM who secured the uranium. And here's what no one's talking about. And I published this almost 2 years ago. They're going on to ranchers' land and finding uranium and stealing it. And they're forcing their way on the land. They're disrupting agricultural and ranching activities. They're not compensating the ranchers and farmers for their losses. And when they object, they get SWAT teamed. This is what the Bundy situation was about.
Yeah, and who can forget Harry Treasonous Reed and the Chinese solar company? Remember those zones, Dave?
Oh, yeah, yeah. God, what's the name? The name just jumped out of my head. Starts with a C. Cinta, C-I-N-T-A. You're right. That's the solar energy firm, Sheila. And I have learned, I've learned from my intelligence sources, and I've also found documentation, Cinta is a front for the Chinese military. And yes, they do solar, but the Chinese military is in charge. So we're allowing Chinese military on our soil. And you were starting to talk about that in relationship to the Bundy. When they were going to get the Bundys off their land in that initial fight in Nevada, it was Cinta that was going to move in, steal the uranium, move the Chinese soldiers into that land.
Well, that's right. And that's what we talked about when we first covered the whole Bundy showdown with Clive and Bundy. We talked about the Chinese paying $5 billion to build that solar plant on Bundy's property, by the way, and the Clark County commissioners were on the hook for the money, and that was why their minions were threatening to send these BLM thugs. You know, they were actually going to send these guys home in a body bag. And there's no way that whole Bundy affair is over. Of course, you see them all political prisoners. Nearly all people, Dave, who reported on the issue, they said, oh, it was just a resource grab. It was, Senator Harry Reid, nothing to see here. But, oh, how much deeper this goes when you look at the Bureau of Land Management policy manual that you and I talked about 3 years ago, in the central bankers, the whole fiat currency manipulation, you know, through the government, hijacked and hoarding. Really, seriously, this is globalist strategy to an uber level, Dave.
It is, but you have to understand why they came down so hard on the Bundys. In fact, we were kind of collateral damage to that crackdown on the Bundys. When the Bundys attracted people to go up there and help them in Cliven's land up in Nevada, and the ATF and the BLM and FBI were forced to withdraw and leave Cliven alone for the time being, people didn't really understand the gravity of what was going on. In fact, let's forward to the Oregon standoff. CNN interviewed Ammon Bundy, but they controlled the narrative. I had contacts to Ammon's family, and we got him on here. And it's a night that I'm sure the ownership of Global Star would like to forget, because we were announcing Ammon's presence. He was coming on the last half hour of the show. And as we were getting ready to announce Stay tuned, everybody. We're going to go live to We Were Gone. And here's what's interesting. Our two satellites that run this program are on opposite ends of the country. They were independently taken down. We have a listen by phone option, independent of those other systems, that was taken down. We couldn't even do live streaming. We even couldn't make an archive. Everything was down. Everything. And the other side did not want Ammon Bundy to come out and say what they were afraid he was going to say, which is, they're stealing uranium, they're doing this, this, that, and the other. Because this is when I was just really jumping into this uranium thing, Sheila, and they just killed this broadcast. Now, we got around it. If you recall, Sheila, you and I tag-teamed the very next day and got Ammon on. Do you remember that?
I do.
And we did a Skype interview that we later aired that they didn't get to stop. So that was really one of my most remarkable nights as a broadcaster, when we just went totally dead. And here everyone around would just say, we've never seen this before. This was incredible. But they don't want this story out, because here's why. Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were executed in the early 1950s by the United States government for selling nuclear secrets to the Russians. Here you have a person, when she was the sitting Secretary of State, selling nuclear-grade material through the Clinton Foundation to our would-be enemies, the Russians. You want the Russian connection? Mr. Mueller, that's where it's at. Oh, you were part of it, so you already know that, Mr. Mueller. So, Sheila, this is why they stepped down so hard on my show, and why they have practiced the censorship they have, because they can't let this stuff out.
Well, that's right. But when you have the Justice Department naming Robert Mueller as special counsel to oversee the department's investigation into Russian meddling in the 2016 election, get serious, Dave. I mean, this guy's got a long history with investigations and prosecutions. Let's not forget he was the former FBI director, James Comey's predecessor. And of course, we saw the whole firing of Comey, and he said, oh, it's all about the Russian concussion. Well, this longtime litigator, Robert Mueller, was the second longest FBI director in history, and only behind, guess who, J. Edgar Hoover. So, isn't that ironic?
Isn't it, boy? We just come full circle. What a den of thieves have been running this country. And, oh, by the way, I should probably mention what Eric Holder, that you started talking about him being the overseer of many of these things when he was still the Attorney General. Today, he's in California, and he's overseeing the exiting of California, the attempted exiting of California, to be a protectorate of the UN in their own independent country. They've even set up an embassy in Moscow. I've got the picture and blah, blah, blah. I've published all the details. He's engaged in treason today. In fact, the UN was part of this. George Soros was part of this. The Bank of China was part of this. Many of the Mexican drug cartels and their affiliated terrorist allies were in these closed-door meetings, who Paul Preston had embedded sources at, that have been exposed on this show. Wow, Sheila, could there be any more corruption?
Well, and where is the public outrage? WikiLeaks has implicated Mueller in the sale of uranium at the behest of Hillary Clinton, then Secretary of State. So if WikiLeaks implicates Mueller in the sale of highly enriched uranium, can you spell nuclear? If that's the case, and he's special counsel, and he wants to investigate Russian collusion, Dave, maybe he should start with himself. It's not bad enough that he's good old buddy old pals with former disgraced FBI Director James Comey. But, I mean, come on, Dave, it's trivial compared to what is being revealed. I mean, this is collusion at the highest levels, and yet no one goes to jail, Dave.
You just mentioned it right there. That's it. Nobody goes to jail. See, we'll go back to, we talked about this before together on your show, I believe it was, and I was relating how I had John Cruz on this show a number of times, former senior VP of HSBC Bank, and he uncovered all this criminality and the money laundering from drug running, gun running, child sex trafficking, and a lot of it was going into the Clinton Foundation that she later used to run for president. And this is from inside HSBC, so he took it to the Eastern Division District Attorney of New York. And she said, but I'll do this little charge here called violating bank secrecy laws so no one could accuse her of a cover-up. But she didn't go after the big things, particularly the money laundering. She wouldn't look at Clinton. And who was that person? Loretta Lynch-Mob, future Attorney General of the United States.
Yes, exactly. And so it goes back to, why aren't we being told about this in the mainstream media? Why is it crickets chirping? Why is this whole Vegas shooting? Why are we not getting to the bottom of this, Dave? You know, we've got Stephen Paddock. We now have, well, we've said this, of course, in the new media. I don't know if that it's so much been covered in the mainstream. He ran a drug running and child trafficking company making millions of dollars. And we have the explosive evidence that threatens to disrupt the official narrative. You see the sheriff in Nevada just completely, I mean, it's laughable, this guy. When we prove law enforcement and mainstream media are colluding to misinform the public, we have the Martin Thoeckel from 1985 to 1988, of course, a predecessor company of Lockheed Martin. After he retired in 88, what did he do? Surprise, surprise, Davey continued earning millions, and it wasn't gambling. That's an impossible fairy tale that, you know, this official narrative is, oh, yeah, he won millions in gambling. Nobody earns millions playing video poker, Dave. If a professional gambler managed to beat the system and profit regularly, you think he'd be welcomed with open arms at the Mandela Bay Resort or MGM Grand, who, by the way, where does the Campos surface? Not in a grand jury to help them solve the biggest case. Where did he turn up? On the Ellen DeGeneres show. And yes, I said degenerate. And who owns her own line of, well, casino slot machines and has a big deal with MGM, Ellen DeGeneres, Dave? Coincidence?
No. No, and you're correct. And I almost fell on the floor. I mean, they didn't even trot him out on CNN. And, you know, here's another thing, Sheila. I've seen the before and after pictures of Campos. Did he gain 30 pounds in 5 days?
Yeah, I think, I mean, it doesn't even look like the same guy, does it?
No, it doesn't look like the same guy. This is absolute insanity that this happened. I mean, here Fox has got their arms out, and Sean Hannity said, I don't know what happened to this guy. And then Fox News for 5 days kept reporting, still missing, still missing, still missing. Meanwhile, over at CNN, crickets chirping. They don't care. They don't want to know. They won't even talk about it. And with the revelation of the uranium, you know, I published the Rostov menu that implicates not just Clinton, but Mueller. It's in public to view on my website with links. And yet, CNN, hear no evil, see no evil. But that's why their ratings are in the toilet. And so how do they strike back? Well, let me share this with you, because I know you're going through it too. If I produce 10 videos in a day, I'm going to get 8 or 9 of them demonetized. And I've been demonetized for things like how to choose the right college for your child. What are the psychological characteristics of people that live to be 100? You know, some personal interest things. Things that are fun. What are the elements of happiness according to the research? And they're demonetizing all this stuff. Now, here's what's interesting. I get about 90% of these demonetizations back, but not until 7 or 8 days have elapsed. I've lost all the possible revenue that I use to balance my business, and YouTube gets to keep all the advertising money. Meanwhile, the people have moved on, and they're not hearing the truth. This is how they're practicing censorship. And see, Sheila, they're being sued. Now, Division 6 is suing, well, they have attorneys that are suing, and they're suing them, and this is YouTube's way around saying, oh, we know we're an unregulated monopoly controlled by Google, and they're an unregulated monopoly, too, and what we're going to do is just keep the truth from coming out, and here's how we're doing it. But they let enough of it come through, they can say, see, plausible deniability.
Well, remember we were talking about on my show, I tweeted out, Roger Stone had said something to calling out John Podesta, and Podesta just, you know, remarked some nasty comment, and I said, oh, yeah, and I called him out as the child rapist dog that he is. So what does he do? He blocks me. This is John Podesta, And then the next day, Dave, I went from 87,000, 86 or 87,000, we have screenshots of my Twitter following. It went down to 76,000 the next day. And what did it do for the rest since, well, today's date? It's now down to, I'm down to 55,000. How do you lose 30,000 Twitter followers in the span of a couple weeks? And secondly, Dave, don't forget, they pulled my entire YouTube channel down, my Sheila Zielinski YouTube channel, not just the videos. They pulled the entire Sheila Zielinski YouTube channel down, which had 196,000 subscribers. Now I'm, you know, I started a new one about a year and a half ago, 2 years ago. It's got, like, it's lucky if it's, it can break 40,000. Like, something stinks in Denmark when I get almost, you know, probably 10 or 12 emails a day saying, Sheila, I'm trying to subscribe to you, but it's not allowing me. I don't get notifications. I mean, nothing to see here, Dave, right?
I get the same thing. I get this. In fact, I would say in the last month, I probably have received about 400 to 500 emails detailing exactly what you just said. And people are beginning to see through it. And, you know, that's why YouTube is being real careful who they ban and how they censor. They're just doing it temporarily, but they're taking all the revenue away and most of the views. And this is how they're getting away with it. But see, this is why they respond this way, because CNN has no credibility. ABC and Fox, Fox has more credibility, but ABC has no credibility. Even ESPN has gone rogue. So when we look at this, Sheila, it's not enough for them to control most of the media. They have to turn around now, and they have to keep our message from coming through because people are listening.
Well, it's the whole rules for radicals. This is the underlying blueprint to all this. You know,
bingo.
It's the Cloward and Piven. You throw in a little Hegelian dialect, the desensitization. Oh, let's talk about predators in Hollywood, Dave. But see, what happens when everyone's a predator, then no one is. You get what I'm laying down there, Dave?
Yeah, I want to get into the predator thing when we come back after the break. I definitely want to unlock, you know, Weinstein. I love how you call him Harvey. What was it, Wallbanger Weinstein? That's a great nickname for him. I may have to steal that from you in an article, Sheila, and I'll try to remember to give you credit. But that really is a telling. And then Corey Feldman is back in the news again. I just did a podcast on that today to be released tonight, and of course taken down by YouTube, of course, but some people will see it, and we'll be covering that as well when we come back from the break. We have Sheila for a whole another hour. Can you believe that? I mean, we're just getting warmed up, folks, and you're thinking, man, if you haven't been paying attention to what's going on in the independent media, your head has to be spinning right now. And I will tell you this, you might want to tie yourself down, because in the next hour, there's going to be gale force winds. So Dave Hodges, Sheila Zielinski, the Weekend Vigilante, will be back after a word from our sponsors, Top of the Hour News, and we'll see you back here in hour number two.